Appreciate any prayer that was shot our way. A couple of people said they did while we were on vacation. We had a good time. And if you're ever in Virginia Beach, I can tell you have a good church to go to. Pastor Tim McDonald, 28-year Navy guy, retired. And good man, loves the book, teaches the book, and you're going to hear something tonight because of something he taught. Got me thinking. Say, what do you take a vacation from? Well, I'm just going to be real honest. I take a vacation from people. I don't take a vacation from my Bible. I don't take a vacation from church or do all those things. And you can have your opinion. That's great. Wonderful. You're wrong. But I take a vacation from people. I take a vacation from my phone. I take a vacation from email. All those wonderful things that are great tools. And people make ministry work, so you got to have those. But a week away is a wonderful thing, so it gives me time to think. And I've got 3 full pages of notes, so I've had a lot of time to think. And we were in Ephesians 5 is where I want you to go. Last Sunday night, we were in Ephesians 5, and he is teaching through the book of Ephesians. And he landed on a verse Sunday morning. He was in verses 19 and 20. So Sunday night, he was covering verse 21, which has the dreaded word in it. And verse 21 of Ephesians 5 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So he talked about submitting yourselves not in the marriage context, but in the context of Christians. The only thing that makes someone in a church higher than someone else is the position that God puts them in. As far as Christians, we're eye to eye. God sees us no different. God is he gives no preference to people. He's not enamored with people as we get. We get enamored with people, and then we get let down, and then we blame God, and God's like, I didn't even tell you to do that. You did that on your own, and now you're out of church because of that, and you just shouldn't do that. How many of you ever been disappointed by somebody in church? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because that's what we do. If you've not been disappointed by somebody in church, you've come in and you've talked to no one ever. And for 20 years, you've been as faithful at that as you could be. So submitting ourselves one to another is a wonderful thing that none of us like to do. We like to preach verse 22 until the cows come home. That one there, that'll preach, brother. And we ride that one out and out and out. And there's ladies right now that are offended, and you didn't even know what I think, and you're already offended. You can ask my wife if I've ever, in 19 years of marriage, mentioned that verse to her. Just ask her. I'm not even going to tell you what she'd say. I already know what she'll say. As long as she's being serious and not sarcastic. That's my fault that she's sarcastic now. That's what 19 years has done. So I want to look at the phrase one another. So he says, submit yourselves one to another. I didn't want to deal with that, but that phrase one to another. Having a church going through what we're going through and headed where we're headed. It is more, and Pastor did a wonderful job covering. We got all kinds of emails and messages on the phone telling how wonderful live stream is. Wonderful. I hope you're enjoying it wherever I'm at, whatever camera it is tonight. Being in church and going through what we're going through, the most important thing in the room is you and your relationship with other people. But having that based on the Word of God is the most important element of that. Because if I base, when I come into this room, if I base what I'm hearing in this room off of what my opinion is and what my thoughts are, there's alarm bells that go off about 30 times a sermon. Because I become very concerned about a lot of things, and I'm just danger Will Robinson. You know, I'm out here like this. And that if that's your feeling, your feelings are all wrong. There's no danger. You've been in a church for 40 years that believes the King James Bible is the Word of God, and that will continue down the road. The music program, you should understand where our music is, because the man that is going to be your pastor in a couple weeks, he is the music program. If you haven't watched your pastor take his hands off that, you've been doing this. So where we're headed, it's not doctrine. It's not the music. We're not going contemporary. You're not going to see me in a polo behind a clear podium. Jeff wanted to see that, but it's not going to happen. Where we're headed is on, it's on this, there's not an exit. And so the only thing that can get in the way of where we're going, it's like being on I-95. Ben, I hate I-95. If there were a message that said we're shutting down I-95, I wouldn't be disappointed. I sat and I sat and I sat and then I sat again and then I sat some more. And after I was done sitting, I sat. For what, James? Oh, you really want to know what it was? Nothing. There was never anything. Hours of just sitting. Now, once you get into D.C., you have the local lanes over here. And anyways, it was the whole thing. Just a lot of sitting. I just wanted an exit somewhere else to go somewhere else. But there was no exit to take me anywhere else. I was stuck on that road. But there's no exit off of where we're at. And I hope you see that. And hope you feel that. So what I want to talk to you about tonight is the one element that will get us in trouble. And that's you. And that's me. And it starts up. Remember the bouncy balls? Yeah. Remember the bouncy balls? That's what we're going to have to be careful of. Because the devil will take a phrase or he'll take something that Pastor John says and he'll let that bouncy ball begin to bounce around in your head, and then you'll start Googling things, and then it'll just you would do that. Some of you Google while you're in church. Say, how do you know that? We have wonderful guys that work in the video room that have all kinds of screenshots that we might let out someday. I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to cover the negative first. Just because I'm not a person that likes to dwell on the negative. I understand there is negative. I've worked with Pastor John for 15 years, so I understand that there's a lot of negative. He's probably watching right now because it's only 4:25 where they're at. So, Matthew 24, context. Anybody tell me the context here in Matthew 24? Shout it out. It's not a trick question. Tribulation is where we're at. Okay, so we have to understand where we're at. 24, verse 10. So we're here, we're talking about the last days. Verse 6. Here you hear of wars, rumors of wars, all those kinds of things. Basically, verse 6 and 7 are where we're living right now. In verse 8, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then verse 9, we know we're not here yet. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and they shall kill you. At least not in the United States. And all kinds of other countries around the world, they're delivering Christians up to be killed. So this stuff is going on. Sometimes we feel like this isn't, but this is actually going on today. It probably happened today to someone. But then verse 10, he says, and then shall many be offended. That's happening today. That's happening all over. Maybe some of you are offended already. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Our first warning about this relationship that we have is that this is an issue that we can have. I've watched people hate one another from across the room. As I was growing up, I watched women hate each other until one of them blew up my dad's church. Amen. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 3. He says, many should be offended, they'll betray one another, and shall hate one another. So you have to realize within yourself, this is something that I am capable of. This is something that I can produce, and that should scare you. You have the ability to hate someone. We throw around that word a lot today. Well, I hate this and I hate that, and we're talking about a food item. Yeah, no, you just dislike the taste of it or the texture. It's not really a hate. Titus 3, verse 3. He said, for we ourselves also were what? Sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and what? Hating one another. So this is something that you were, according to what Paul is saying to Titus. The problem is, if you're honest, a lot of times what you were will creep over into what you are. And if we get in this situation where I begin to feel uncomfortable, I 9 times out of 10, I begin to pull away from the Word of God, and I go on danger in my mind, and I begin to look at all kinds of things, and those old worldly habits and that worldly way of thinking is the first thing to slide back in. And instead of running things through the Word of God and doing this, just sitting down with someone and having a conversation, that is a lost art. I don't even think we know how to do that anymore. Well, they just got a problem, and I just got to, well, sit down and have a conversation. Be an adult. Well, you wouldn't want to hear what I have to say. Really? There's been a lot of things said in my office. Some of them I can't repeat from this pulpit because of the vulgarity of the language. So you can say a lot of things to me, and you probably won't blow that over. We just will talk about that a lot. That stuff happens. Not the preacher, because he pushed all that off on us, and he didn't want to do that anymore. Go to 1 John chapter 2. So this is something, number one, it is something that I'm prone to, but I'm prone to it because it is a part of what I was. But I haven't gotten rid of him completely. He still hangs about. And every once in a while, like 50 times a day, he catches you. Go to verse 9, 1 John 2. He says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Go to chapter 3 and verse 15. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So three things we can see in this, and we'll look at one more. But the first one is in 1 John 2:11. If I'm filled with hate, and if that is the thing that is moving me, first off, I'm blind. So spiritually, if when someone walks in the room, if there's anything that rises up in you, be careful. You may need to sit down and have an adult conversation, because another Christian being in the room shouldn't cause me to wield back. But if that happens within me, that means there's something between us, and it's not theirs to take care of. You understand? A lot of times we do that. Well, they just need to come to me and talk to me about it. Have you ever heard this? Maybe they don't even know. Well, they offended me. Well, if they offended you, maybe they're like me and they're just sarcastic. So I say all kinds of stuff that may be offensive. I've had to tone that down with certain people so they don't enjoy my sarcasm as much as I do. And so what I've had to go to people before, or they have come to me and said, "That offended me." And so then you just apologize, and guess what? You move on, and it's a wonderful thing. And those people that you have those conversations with, you will have a better relationship with them going forward, because you crossed a bridge together. Rather than just sitting back and every time they come into the room, you have that feeling come over you. So you're blind, chapter 3, verse 15, you're a murderer. There isn't anybody in the room that would raise their hand and say, "Yeah, I'm a murderer." But John just says, if you hate your brother, that's what you are. You have already knocked them off, as it were. In your mind, they're already dead. Thus the phrase, "They're dead to me." Why? Because you're a murderer. Because you hate them. But I don't even know what they did. And maybe they don't even know what they did. Chapter 1 John 4 and verse 20. It says, "If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a what? He's a liar." So you're blind, you're a murderer, and you're a liar. Don't you feel like that is something that could be detrimental to a church as it tries to move forward together down a road? And listen, you're the only one that knows. There isn't anybody else that knows. You're the only one that has that. Now, if you're the kind of person that gets offended at everything, then that's another issue altogether. That's a sermon series. But if there is a legitimate beef, just have the conversation. Why? Wouldn't you hate to be the person that derails the train because you wouldn't sit and have a conversation? You know what my wife and I and Pastor John and his wife had to do a year and a half ago? We had to sit down and have a 4-hour conversation. Why? Because it just needed to happen. And here's what we found out about halfway through that conversation. The things that I was thinking about him were the same things that he was thinking about me. And the same questions that I was questioning him about, he was questioning me about. And it was an amazing feeling at about the 3-hour mark that, wait a second, we're both questioning the same thing. We both have the same problem. We both have the same concerns. And yet we both want to do the same thing. We want to move forward together with the church. And it was an amazing moment. Not a fun moment. It's not enjoyable. But my dad always said this to me, son, men have conversations. I'll just let that lie. What you do with it, what you want there. Maybe it's a conversation. And listen, and maybe there's nothing. Maybe you say, okay, then great, wonderful. But if there is, don't think that you can ignore it and that it's just going to go away. It's like having the 13-year-old brother that just taps you all day long. That'll be the feeling forever. Nobody wants that. I was that brother at one time. She shakes her head. Yes. Yes, she does. Go to Romans chapter 2. So there's hating one another. So we're done with that one. That's negative. And we don't like that one. Romans chapter 2. And here is one. And this I may address the teenagers on this one. Maybe a little. Romans 2, verse 15. Here he's speaking of the Gentiles, and he has the Gentiles and the law, and he's bouncing back and forth. And he says in verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So they were caught between two things. They were either constantly on the accusation side of it. Anybody see the Chick-fil-A commercial? The guy wants to know who it is that's putting up all the signs. They know it's not Bob because he's the new guy. And then the other guy across the table said, well, I'm not one to point fingers, but Doug did it. They were either accusing one another, or they were doing this, or they were excusing one another. Let me give you a little insight on Christian kids. Christian kids are wicked. They have the devil that lives inside of them. And even though they look nice and spray nice things on them, and they come and sit here and they carry a Bible and pretend to take notes, they're writing poems over here. They're not taking notes. There's wickedness that lives in here. And you know what they get caught doing? They'll get caught this. Hudson won't tell on Caleb because Caleb knows about Hudson and Hudson knows about Caleb. And they know about David and David knows about them. So what do? They end up stuck right here. And they end up, instead of somebody amongst them standing up and saying, Wes, knock it off. Instead of somebody doing that, what do? They excuse it. Thinking that everybody's going to be okay. When in fact, what they don't know, if one of them doesn't stand up right now and say something, in 10 years, multiples of them will not be here. See, how do you know? I lived it. I am myself, Josh, and Amber, and now Nate after about 10 years of being out in the world. I am 4 of about 20 kids I was in high school with. Why? Because we excused each other all the way through high school. Everybody wore the tie. Everybody sang the songs. We all learned scripture. We quoted a passage of scripture and a hymn every month in school. Stood up on the platform, quoted it all. We all did that in the midst of excusing one another. Amen. Brother Logan preached a message. And while we were gone, so Sunday night I'm sitting there in church and the pastor gets up and he says, and this week we have a special meeting with Joel Logan. So now that's in my conscience. So there's a special meeting down the road, 10 minutes from where I'm staying. So we go back Monday night. Brother Logan preached on foxes. Good stuff. Mom and Dad, if you think there's a fox in the chicken house, go searching. My room was dismantled innumerable times as I grew up. Now, I, unlike my older brother, he's not here, so I'll rat on him. I wasn't stupid enough to keep anything in my room. Only idiots do that. Well, I'm just going to hide it under my mattress. Yeah, because they'll never look there. Moms and dads never look under the mattress. And it's not just a problem with kids. It can be a problem with adults. Well, you know, they just got this habit. It's just not that bad. Says who? Were you dubbed the Holy Spirit when none of the rest of us were looking? If it's against your opinion, hush. If I like essential oils and you don't, it ain't none of your business. I have a vat once a day. I dip in. It's all good. That was a mental picture you didn't want, wasn't it? That's terrible. I'm sorry. Fully clothed dip. That's what it is. A fully clothed dip. But if it's against the Bible, it's our job to say, listen, man, who do you think you're... How long will you get away with this? And every one of you, if you've been in church long enough, you can think back to times where you said something, and then you can think back to times where you didn't. And that's the struggle, whether you say something or you don't say something. That's why Solomon said, sometimes you answer a fool, and sometimes you answer not a fool. You say, what's the answer to that? Yes. Yes. But don't get caught in that spot where you find yourself just, oh, they're just a good person. Good, it's... I watched a lady one time, and her son was getting locked up for first-degree murder. And here were her words. Well, he's just a good kid. Wrong. Good kids don't murder people. And I know where she's thinking. I know where she's thinking from. But we're not thinking, once again, we've got to think from God's perspective. God said, if I hate you, I'm a murderer. So that's a long way from actually, even in our minds, of doing it. So if you know there is sinful activity going on, it is not your job to excuse it. And wouldn't that be terrible? And can't we think of churches where it was excused and then exposed 10, 15, 20 years down the road? And how great a wonderful blessing that has been to our Baptist community. Just say it out loud. That's negative. Let's just get away from that one. That's terrible. Go to Galatians chapter 5. This one is both negative and positive. It's like my marriage. It's negative and positive. I'll let you decide where that falls. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. He says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Go to verse 26. He said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So verse 15 goes with verse 26. Because when I'm being envious of somebody else is when I begin to bite and devour them. I don't bite and devour someone that's not even on my radar. I bite and devour people. Well, they just think this about themselves. Do they? Because I don't know that they actually do. And neither do you. But there's been some button pushed within you that makes you think that. Envy means to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. And, you know, there's three. He broke it down three ways there. Excellence, reputation, or happiness. I've seen it more with the happiness. Or people envy somebody else because they're happy. You know why people are happy? People are happy because they choose to be happy. I was 18 years old and I was in Mexico and I was in a family's house that was in the missionary's church. And they were feeding us dinner and they had a dirt floor. In this little house out in the middle of nowhere in Mexico. And they were some of the happiest people I've ever been around in my life. Why? They just, number one, they were saved. They got away from the oppression of the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ had transformed their whole family. And they just chose to be happy. So just because somebody else is happy, number one, they're not doing it to throw it back in your face. Because what that is saying is that you're that important that they would like work up all this happiness all day long just to throw it in your face. That's a whole, you're giving somebody a lot of credit for a whole lot of work. And the opinion of yourself is like, that's at superior levels right there. If someone else is happy, why not this? Why not find out why they're happy? What makes you smile all the time? Your smile irritates me. You can say it like that. That's fine. Well, why are you happy all the time? It shouldn't be a thing of envy. We shouldn't be envious of somebody that's excellent at something. When somebody is working on my car or something at my house, I want somebody that's excellent at what they do. I don't want, yeah, go get Joe. He's all right at that. If you want an okay roofer, call Bob. You just get him over there. You know, they may be straight. Your valleys, I don't know, they might have a little leaking in the valleys there. I don't want that guy. I want the guy that is excellent, and I appreciate the excellence. So just, once again, be careful. Don't hate one another. Don't excuse one another, and don't envy one another. And those are all the negatives, and now we're on the happy things. Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 7. And then we're going to look at chapter 16 while we're there. Let's go to 16 first, actually. Let's do that one, and then we'll come back to 15. 16, and we'll look at verse 16. This is a little awkward, but Pastor John's not here, so I have to do something that's awkward. All right, verse 16. Oh, you say. Did everybody see Pastor John's sign on the hallway by his office? You see that? That was me. I'll just be honest, that was me. If you're offended, I'm sorry. He also came into work one day, and I took all of his picture frames, and I put my picture in it. And I put my picture on his desktop. Yeah. I've rubber banded his doors together before. And I can't remember the rest. He can remember all the rest. They're just random things we do. So I put out on his, by his office door, it says, "Almost Pastor." And it's funny. It's funny. Sorry if you're offended. He thought it was hilarious. He actually didn't see it for 2 days. But that's because no one looks at their own sign. All right. Romans 16:16 says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Now, salute me, yes. The other is cultural, which doesn't exist here. Even watch the hugging. I just, you know, I'm not a big hugger. 15:7 says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." So this is to greet one another. You know what would help you in church is just to greet people. To say hello. For those people in this section, to get to know these people over here in this section. Sorry, Carl. These people over here, to meet those people over there. I can't count the times that I've said to someone, talking about a person, then they're like, "Oh no, where do they sit?" "Oh, they sit in the section over by the piano." "Oh yeah, I literally never get over there." It's like it's a vast desert from there to there. And there's not enough water to get in between. Someone needs to dig a well right in the middle just to make it so people can get through. Greeting one another. Greeting one another means to meet, address with kindness, or express kind wishes. And then he says accompanied with an embrace. So we've already covered that. But just being kind. Hey, how are you? How are you doing? And actually meaning that, not the passing in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? And you don't actually hear what they say, and they don't hear what you say because neither of you meant it. Just greeting one another. Now notice what Paul says in verse 7 of chapter 15. He said, wherefore receive ye one another. What's the next two words? As who? As Christ. Paul does something for us is he qualifies, and I'm going to give you a list of things. Paul qualifies a lot of things for us with Jesus Christ. That's a bummer, man. Because there's a lot of stuff that even the Bible says that I can try to wiggle my way around. But when you said, well, you need to do that because Jesus did it, you're like, I really have no choice there. I'm really kind of stuck. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And I'm going to move through them. If you want to follow along, it's awesome. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So Paul said you need to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Why? Because he was raised up. He defeated death for you. Therefore, you ought to walk like him. You ought to talk like him. You ought to try your best to emulate him. Why? Because he did it for you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to go there because I want to get the context of the verse in front of it. Galatians 4, verse 12. Said, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as whom? Jesus Christ. So in other words, if you'll act like Jesus Christ, people will receive you as Jesus Christ. So if you continuously find yourself saying, well, nobody likes me. Well, there are ways to fix that. There are ways to fix that. Being nice, a preacher always says, how can someone be mean to you when you're buying them a steak dinner? I'd even say a couple nice things to you. Might have to dig a little bit. Listen, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so if I want people to receive me, if I would just start walking and acting and talking like Jesus Christ, at least amongst our crowd, the world's not, you get that. But here, if you would act like Jesus Christ, who wouldn't like you? Because if you're acting like Jesus Christ, your personality isn't in the forefront. You know, that is sometimes my personality is sometimes to my detriment, because that's the first thing you see. And sometimes that's, and we're all guilty of that. You just had an off day. Well, you know what? I'm glad Jesus didn't have an off day the day that he was crucified. I'm sure glad he was on point. All right. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we're supposed to receive one another as Christ has received us, and also we're to walk in love. Why? Well, that's how Jesus Christ did. Very difficult to hate people when I'm walking in love like Jesus Christ. All our personalities just clash. No, that means you're both just really stubborn. We like fancy words to make it sound technically complicated. Well, you know, they scored a 6 and I only scored a 4, and so therefore we don't match at all. Whatever. Add those together and it's a 10, and 10's a great number. Verse 25 of chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. All right, next point, moving on. Yeah. even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We love, as I said in the beginning, we love verse 22. We have it on banners. We get on bumper stickers in the back and sides of our car, in the top and the bottom. But man, we get to verse 25. You know, guys, verse 22 is a piece of cake if you'll do verse 25. So why should I? Even as Christ also loved. Well, you don't know. Listen, Linda. Let me say something to you. You prove me wrong. I don't believe anybody put a gun to your head and said, this is the one for you. Standing in the back of the auditorium in the old building, my dad's standing right next to me, and everybody's coming in for the wedding, and he looks at me and goes, you ready for this? I cannot repeat what I said to him. That was for him and I only. I was ready for that. Why? That was the woman that I believe God had for me. 19 years later, we're still there. If you're not still there, it wasn't because someone forced you. It might be that verses 22 through 25 are mostly broke. And if you would just do the things as Jesus Christ, that would help fix a lot of things. Well, you just don't understand. See, actually, I do understand a lot of things. Not next year will be better because I'll be 40. So that'll be like the wisdom will just like a wave. It'll hit me, knock me over. That was complete sarcasm, by the way. If we would do things as Jesus Christ, guys, that would help us out a lot. 1 Corinthians 16:20 and 2 Corinthians 13:12 is two other places where Paul says the phrase, greet one another with an holy kiss. If we would just treat each other as Jesus Christ, then there's no problem with envy. There's no problem with strife. There's no problem with hate. If I would see you as Jesus Christ and you would see me as Jesus Christ, helps a lot if we both act that way. The problem is solved, and this church continues to motor down the road. But if those things begin to hop in, what your pastor preached Sunday night is a very great possibility. Very great. Why? The problem is not the church and it's not the pastor. The problem is me. And you've always known that you can go and talk to your pastor about anything. You got a problem, just go sit down and talk to him. But we need to have that same relationship with each other. What you said was offensive. Well, then go have the conversation. Well, how you acted was offensive. Well, then go have the conversation. Do something to proactively make sure that you and your kids and your grandkids and down the road, you're doing the best that you can to make sure that those that are coming behind you are going to walk with Jesus Christ. That is our job. That is why we are here. Let's go to John chapter 13, verse 14. Now, I don't like this one at all. This one is a terrible one. But if I would do this one, I have a really hard time for people not seeing me as Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to physically do this. Don't come up to me with a basin of water and a towel. Because I will assume you have the towel so that I can dump the basin of water on you and then you can dry off. I'll just think that way. John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know what we need to do? We need to serve one another. Having a servant heart and a servant's mindset makes church work. When I get to the place of, well, I have to do this and I have to do that, Better check yourself. I'm not here because of what I have to do. I didn't have to go to the hospital today. I got to go up to the hospital today. I got to sit with a precious lady that goes to our church and talk to her and pray with her, and it was a wonderful blessing. And that's how we should live our lives for Jesus Christ. You don't have to wash my feet. I am certainly probably not going to wash your feet. Most likely not. Let me check. Nope, not going to happen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. See our new nifty clock we got up here? Look at that. That's amazing. It's not digital, so I can't read it, so it doesn't even matter to me. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh," which is probably the easiest action of our life, right? "But by love, serve one another." To serve means to attend at command, to wait on. I enjoy, when I go out to eat, to have a good waitress or waiter. And I tip accordingly. If you're going to leave a track, especially, you better tip accordingly. I like good service. To have good friends and to be a good friend, to be a good church member, I have to keep in mind that I always need to have that servant's mindset. And the only person that can check that is me. If you're coming in to serve in the church and you're irritated, that's really not the point. So what you need to do, the first thing you need to do isn't come and complain. But you need to check and see why it is that you're irritated. Are you irritated because you're not walking with God as you should be? Are you irritated because your life is just stressful right now? Or are you irritated because you've been doing it for 30 years and maybe need a break? It's okay to take breaks. It doesn't mean that you're a quitter. Hey, that's an amen. That's an amen right there. The phrase "my ministry" should never come out of your mouth. Pastor says this. He said this. He's been saying this for years. Whether he says it out loud to you or not, he says it to me. He says, "I can always tell the character of a man. You can always tell the character of a man when you take a ministry from him. Do you shrivel up and blow away, or do you do what God has asked you to do?" Well, God didn't do it. It was just pastor. We could look at some scripture on that one. Who needs the Bible? But that service is sometimes a very difficult thing, especially when somebody's kids are just absolute tyrants and you're working in kids' ministries. I remember when Marissa, is she in here? No, she's in the nursery. I can tell her then. I remember when Marissa bit Hope Rogers in the nursery. It's a great day. Just bitter. And I told Mark Rogers, "That's what you get." Sometimes, you ever been in a nursery, and you can say this, and no one will know who you're talking about. You ever worked in the nursery with a biter? I can raise my hand on that one. What guys in the church used to serve in the nursery? You want to raise your hand on that one? There it is, Brother Chidi. I was waiting on that honesty back there. Oh, yeah, good times. And then what happened? Our world got really weird. Then we had to quit doing that. My wife and I actually enjoyed doing it together. Because having a guy in the room with those older kids, man, it makes a world of difference. But the world got weird, so we had to stop doing that. But I've been in the nursery with, you know, cereal biters. And it's not that their mom sent them with Fruit Loops. You know, it was cereal. They're just biting everything and everybody. And every time you turn around, you think you got him caged. And he escapes and he goes and bites somebody behind you before he can even get out. Listen, those things have a way of wearing on you and getting and just irritating you. And then, you know, you get the schedule. Oh, this is my time. I'm in there twice. Listen, those three rooms back there are the biggest pain in the neck. But they're also at the same time the biggest blessing. They are a huge blessing. How many of you ladies were in the nursery when Brother Logan stopped back in there and said, "Thank you for being in the nursery"? Anybody in here? There's a couple of you. And I noticed the past couple of years, our special speakers go back there and say, "Thank you." Why? Because they're coming in and they're taking their time away from what they're doing. And they appreciate the fact that that ministry goes on. And listen, I understand that ministry, probably above all else, to steal a choir song, can just drain you. But having that servant's heart and that servant's attitude coming in, asking the Lord, "Lord, just get me through tonight." That's an okay prayer. I want to do this, but little Johnny's going to be in there. And if I had my way, Lord, I'll tell you what I would do to him. Because I know his mom and dad don't do that. I can go on a tangent, but I won't. I'll leave it alone. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. So serve. Listen, if I'm serving you and I'm loving serving you, you know what? Men's prayer. Did I mention that? Pastor John's probably going to keep that in the evening. I know that's a disappointment to some guys and an enjoyment for other guys. So it kind of goes both ways. You know what I've enjoyed doing? I've enjoyed cooking breakfast with a bunch of men in this room. It's just fun. Just enjoyable. So it wasn't like ladies cooking. Duh. When you're in the kitchen and your kids are like, Dad, are you cooking dinner? Yeah, I'm cooking dinner. Oh, where's Mom? Kind of your telltale sign. You know, they know how that thing goes. Are you saying that's the woman's job? No, I'm just saying she does it better than I do. And yes, it's her job. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'll have you know some of the best cooks in the world are men. I know. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And then he throws in that last phrase. In honor, preferring one another. Man, I don't like that. You obviously should prefer me. That makes complete sense. But the fact that I have to prefer you, this is insanity. Preference, literally to bear or carry in advance in the mind, affections or choice. Hence, to regard more than another, to honor or esteem above another. That's a great sound, isn't it? What it means is this. Is that when I come into church, I should try to talk to you and actually talk to you and listen to you and care about who you are and not be just starting the conversation so that I could tell my great story from the week. I'll just pause there for a quick second. That's what we do. We had a great story and edit stuff. I'll start this conversation and I'll be able to tell my story. When was the last time you came to church and you didn't say anything about yourself? You just talk to that person and this person and that person, and you're just preferring them. You want to make your marriage 100 times better than what it is today? Prefer the other person. In everything you do, prefer them. There would be no hatred. There would be no envy. This church would grow if we were just simply preferring one another. Go over to chapter 14. Verse 13, here's why we don't. 14:13, he says, let us not therefore, that's an important word, not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We spend more time judging. And I think over the years, we've let the world's mentality of judge not, creep into our minds. If I would just prefer you and actually just stand and talk to you and listen to you, how many hate psychology? Anybody else hate? I decided to hate psychology. And yet the older I get and the more I read and the more I'm around people, the more I'm like, I read an article today and I was like, fine, you're right. But if I stand and I talk to you, and I listen to you, and the conversation's over, you feel better about yourself. Well, I don't need that from other people. I'm a strong, independent person. You're also a liar. I threaten my wife with Alaska all the time. She knows it's an absolute empty threat. Because I couldn't be by myself. I'm just going to go and move up there in the middle of nowhere. We're going to put our kids in a bunker. We're just going to disappear from the rest of the world. She's like, you wouldn't last 10 minutes. That's probably true. Sounds nice. Also sounds cold. If I would prefer you, there would be no stumbling block or an occasion to fall. Stumbling blocks come in a church when I prefer myself above everybody else. I'm okay with a visitor coming in and saying, nobody talk to me, this is the most unfriendly church ever. I'm not okay with a member of 20 years plus saying, well, nobody talks to me. It could be the lightsaber that you're swinging. It could be the daggers coming out of your eyes. It could be that when anybody talks to you, all they hear is everything about you. And we don't like any of that stuff because that's all personal psychologist stuff. They tell us not to do that kind of stuff if we want friends. But when I'm preferring myself, I can't think of anything else. And then I literally become that stumbling block to other people. And what I'm doing, I'm basically sitting there punching myself in the face. And then wonder, well, I don't know why anybody's talking to me. Well, because you're the crazy person standing in the corner punching themselves in the face. Nobody really walks up and says, hey, how's your day going? Nobody's willing to do that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There goes Paul again, comparing us to Jesus Christ and telling us you need to do this. Why? Because Jesus Christ did this. Man, you know what it would do? It would make the journey we're about to get. You'll understand that once we get into this thing of 4 months of Pastor John preaching all the time, they're not going to be going back and saying, hey, can I have that ballot again? I just, you know, if I could check that other box. I'm just saying it out loud. You're all thinking it anyway. Let's just say it out loud. Why? Because it's funny. He laughs. It's okay, laugh. But that won't be a question if I'm preferring you and you're preferring me. And I'm not coming to church to critique what I'm hearing. But I'm coming to church to actually hear from a God that was wise enough to give me a book that I could study. One of the singles said to me, you and Pastor John talk this week about stuff? I'm like, no. Why? Well, he said a lot of the same stuff you did. And you're in Sunday school. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. That's called the Lord. I like that stuff. That stuff makes me happy. That's a mental checkbox for me as I'm sitting in church and I'm going, and check one, and check two, and check three. And we intentionally don't talk about it. Why? We want the Lord to do that. That says he's here. And he's working on multiple levels. But if I want to find out how it is to not be in church and to not have my family there and to not be a part of whatever this will be in 10, 15 years, we'll all be older, that's for sure. I have to prefer you and I have to serve you and I have to greet you. And I shouldn't hate you. I shouldn't excuse you because, well, he's just a confused person. No, if there's something wrong, you need to say something. And these are things that make church function. They're not always pleasant. They're not always wonderful. They're not always kind. But they are good things. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Well, we're almost already there. I am anyways. We'll flip over a page. Here's a good one. I'll give you one more and then we'll head for the house. Romans 15:14 says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to what? Admonish one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. I need to admonish you. I need to exhort you. Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, admonish and exhort is not telling somebody off. It means this, to entice by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments to a good deed. Or to any laudable conduct or course of action. This is a positive thing. Hebrews chapter 3, and let's look at verse 13. He said, but exhort one another how and when? Daily, which is called what? Today. I love it when your Bible does that. It says the same thing twice in a matter of four words. lest any of you be hardened through the what? Deceitfulness of sin. You know what will take you out of church? You know what will take me out of church? The deceitfulness of sin. Me and my own head thinking thoughts that they're not right. But you ever notice when you begin to think things, the longer you think them, the more confident you are in them. And then you always find a person or two that agrees with you. And then it's pretty much dead fact. I mean, Moses should have just scratched it into the tablets. Only to find out you were wrong. Why? Deceitfulness of sin. Better to admonish, better to exhort somebody than it is to get stuck in that battle. Go to chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 24 and 25. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. A phone call, a text message, a knock on a door. And yes, you have a pastor, but you understand that sometimes it is more our job than it is his job to go give somebody a phone call. If you see somebody missing, don't go ask Pastor John if he's noticed that they've been missing. The Lord had you notice that they were missing. It should just be, all right, Lord, point taken. And figure it out. Drive over to the house, call them, whatever. And just say, hey, man, we've missed you. Just simple things like that. What do? They make church work. But I won't do any of those things if I'm only coming for myself. And I'll say this, you won't come for yourself very long. And if the only reason is you're here is, I know, and I'm done. I'm going to make myself be done. I know a guy that is staying in a church because he's been there for all of his life. And he's staying there because he's given money to the church. When everything shuts down, he's going to make sure what happens to the money. The Lord doesn't need you to make sure what happens to the money. The Lord doesn't need me here to make sure that Pastor John keeps the music on the right path. Doesn't. Say, so isn't that your job? No, that's God's job. Will I say something to? Oh, you could ask him that. I say all kinds of stuff to him. What's my job? My job is to prefer you and to exhort you and to admonish you. And your job, the same right back at me. That's how a church is supposed to function. That's how a healthy church works. One that is full of hate and envy and stumbling blocks, that one is doomed. And you'll have people that hang on in those just to see what happens to the money at the end of it. My question would be this. Why are you coming to church? Coming to church is hard work, yeah? Coming to church is hard work, yes? It is. What? Why? Because you could always think of something, right? What is the hardest day of the week to get up? Sunday. My kids don't sleep in. Except for one day of the week. It is amazing. Why? I guess the devil just working on your flesh, making sure you've got every excuse in the world not to be here. I'm excited for what we're gonna do. I'm excited for the direction we're going. And I'm just trying to be a help to you tonight. Listen, our job is to love each other and to admonish one another. You're here and I'm here, and that's good. I wouldn't want John Roque. I said something about duplicating himself at work, and John's like, there only needs to be one of me. There doesn't need to be two of me. And that's true of all of us. We don't need two of ourselves. God made one of you, and then he said, that's enough. And so there's one of each of us, and one of each of us makes Hope Baptist Church work. And don't ever think, well, if I'm not here, somebody else will do it. No, that is not true. Somebody else may give it a good attempt, but it'll never be as you did it. And so, in honor, preferring one another. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hopefully it's been a help to you. And I'm excited about where we're going, what we're doing, all that kind of stuff. Visitation tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're going to hit some more maps around that Ottawa Hills area. Try to make that area all red as soon as we can. And try to be here at 7 o'clock and help us get that endeavor done. Brother Kevin Sullenberger, would you dismiss us, sir?